Hey, it's Benji Cole, son of Al Cole from CBS Radio and host of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Run to our website, peopleofdistinction.org, for more info, or you can always email me directly at benji@alcoleenterprises.com. And on the line with us today, we have Larry Odell Johnson. Now, some of you may remember Larry when he was on our network previously discussing his book, I Am a Key. Well, the interview went so well that we had to invite Larry back on to discuss another one of his books called The Mind Factory. The ability to cipher information is the secret to the lexicon. Now, listen, people, Amazon and Barnes & Noble are where you have to go, okay? And not only do you have to pick up The Mind Factory, not only do you have to pick up I Am a Key, but also check back into his Amazon and Barnes & Noble pages frequently, because Larry has a third installment in the trilogy that's still in creation. So you're going to want to head back over and pick that one up the moment it becomes available. And I do want to take an opportunity and point out that Larry was brought to our network, People of Distinction, by one of the best publishers in the business, Stellar Literary Press and Media. So if you or anyone you know have a book that they'd like moved, people, give yourself the best gift you could possibly give. Contact Stellar and have their wonderful team move it for you. You can find out more information on them through their personal website, stellarliterary.com. And listen, it is an absolute pleasure to have Larry here on the line again. I'm telling you, people, The Mind Factory, similar to I Am a Key, is an absolute delight. I mean, if you like puzzles, right? If you have that mind that just likes to decipher things, this is the book for you. Or technically, these are the books for you. You know, because Larry is absolutely one of those individuals, and this book is complex, but so wonderfully enjoyable. You're going to need to head on over to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and pick up your copies. And at the end of the day, he's the expert. He's articulated it like he did the last time, and he's going to be able to do it for us again with his other book, The Mind Factory. Larry, first and foremost, welcome back to People of Distinction, and thank you very much for being a guest, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. Listen, the pleasure is all ours. We're really looking forward to this discussion, man, and really just getting lost in the journey that you've created. Now, for those of our listening audience members, Larry, that missed the previous interview, let's start off with learning a little background on yourself. Please tell us a little bit more about you.
Well, I was born in Manhattan, New York. Grew up in Brooklyn. After high school, I left at 17 and moved to Arizona and attended Arizona State University, where I eventually got a BS degree in mathematics. I went on from Arizona State University to the University of California at Berkeley, and I worked on a master's and a doctorate, achieving my master's degree in criminology, completed all of my coursework towards a doctorate degree, but did not, for political reasons, get through the oral, giving me the ability to write a dissertation. So when I look back on my first book, The Mind Factor, I view that as my dissertation. Mm-hmm.
You know, Larry, let's jump right in, man. The Mind Factory, the ability to cipher information, is the secret to the lexicon. Tell us a little bit more about it, please.
This book is I noticed you used the word journey early in the conversation here. This book is actually a journey of my search and discovery, and in itself is an exposition of those two things. And put within context, I remember sitting in, I think the origin of this book, the wellspring of this book, came from my sitting in a seminar in graduate school at Berkeley, just listening to my fellow classmates. And I remember saying to myself, having been a student of knowledge my whole life, I've studied my whole life, and I've always been interested in learning more and more things, trying to find out as much as I could find out about the world that I live in and what makes it tick. And I remember saying to myself, listening to the people in this seminar, how do people get this smart? I'm referring not to myself, but to the other people in the room. And on another occasion, I remember sitting in a seminar, perhaps the same class, and realizing that people were speaking in plain language, and they were uttering words, everyday words, but they were talking on a consciousness level that I did not understand. And I knew at points they were talking, they're directing their conversation to me and thinking that I didn't know what they were talking about. In fact, most of the time I didn't know exactly what they were saying. And I said to myself, this can't be happening to me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out what is it about language that leaves me at a disadvantage in terms of knowing the depth of understanding using everyday words. And so with that, I chose as one of my areas of specialization, the sociology of knowledge. Now, knowing what sociology is, sociology studies the activities of the social activities of mankind. And so, and it specializes the sociology of athletics, the sociology of law, the sociology of medicine, et cetera. I chose the sociology of knowledge. I wanted to know the origin and the mechanism of knowledge that everyday humans use throughout history, et cetera. And so I started studying in that area and eventually discovered a cryptography. And with that, my first assignment to myself was using a cryptographic technique that I learned, an acrostic technique, on a book by Sigmund Freud called Sexuality. And once I realized that acrostic technique literally works, and it yielded a different additional information from what was on the face value of that particular book, I was hooked, and I haven't looked back since.
There you have it. Well, people, I'm telling you, this is deep, okay? This book is so much larger than what's on the surface. Larry, I want to talk to you about inspiration for a second, because it's clear to see why this was an interest of yours, right? And something that you wanted to explore. Now, putting it out for the public, what inspired you to write this book for the masses?
I read a book by Albert Einstein, and I was looking at a particular quote by Albert Einstein, where he says in this quote, it's pretty much word for word, but I'll say I'm paraphrasing. He said, the fairest thing that we can experience is the mysterious. It is the fundamental emotion that stands at the cradle of true art and true science. He who knows it not can no longer feel wonder and amazement is as good as dead, a snuffed out candle. He goes on to say other things in this statement, but at the end he says, enough for me, the single-hearted endeavor to comprehend a portion, be it never so tiny, of the reason that manifests itself in nature. This idea of things in their elementary forms and the concept of being the fairest thing that people can experience, that again was a hook for me. And I started looking into his theory. And so I had to read, I made myself read most of the works that I could find on Albert Einstein, even the stuff on physics. His theory of relativity, et cetera, to really hone in on the word fairest and figure out exactly what he meant by that word. And what I realized after reading and knowing a little bit about him and how he thought, he meant exactly what he was saying. That word he was using, the fairest, he meant it in the exact sense that we understand it, in the everyday sense of that word. It was fair that people had to be exposed to the mysterious. And if you were willing, if you were not, if you're ambitious and not complacent about attacking that particular idea of reality, then there was a long journey of learning ahead of you. And what you would look at is not complexity as complexity, because the world is complex. But what you're looking for is the simplicity that can be found within the complex. That is to say, even in negative things, there's always a positive side to it. And so that's how I approached this. And so I looked at his formula, E equals MC squared. And I assumed, I conjectured, I guessed that there was some meaning in that equation beyond the physics side of it. One didn't have to know physics in order to know what those particular letters meant.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered in reading other kinds of other theorists, including Freud and Immanuel Kant's Critique of Pure Reason, I discovered after a time that that particular equation had a different kind of meaning. And it says, and I write about this in The Mind Factory, my sort of journey through the discovery of what those letters meant. And it goes, he, meaning a male, a mature male, is equal to man sees a square. What I mean by square is someone who is unsophisticated, not hip to what's going on in the world. And with that backdrop, I open up my key to language.
I love it. People, again, we're here on the line with Larry Odell Johnson. We're discussing his amazing book, The Mind Factory, The Ability to Cipher Information is the Secret to the Lexicon. Available for purchase through Amazon as well as Barnes & Noble. But make sure you check out his other book, I Am a Key. And continue to circle back around because there's a third one in the trilogy that's set to be released very shortly. You know, Larry, I want to go into your title next, man, because there's something about it. The Mind Factory and the imagery that comes to mind is something, again, that is just awe-inspiring and really just it stops you in your tracks. Okay, so I think you hit it right on the head there. Talk to us about that title and why you chose it to be the representation for your book.
The book is a learning tool, and the concept of a factory is the way you produce things and reproduce things. And so I put mind within that concept, how to produce and reproduce healthy minds in people, how to expand a person's mind and let them grow in their levels of consciousness. So that's what the book is talking about. And in regard to that is that the key to expanding that mind is understanding that the lexicon, that is to say language, has a deeper meaning than just the surface meaning. There is a manifest content, which you're taught in school, the everyday common understanding of words. But beyond that, there is a latent content. And the only way to get to that content is to discover that those words, as Immanuel Kant would say, are things in themselves. That is to say, a word has words in it. And the words in it are based on knowledge of the words that each of the letters represent. In other words, you have to have a key to those letters to understand what that latent content reveals to you. And we realize after a time, after that discovery and that practice, in that review, that there's more in the latent content than there is in the manifest content in terms of how the world works. And this is a design that is built into language. Language is not an accident. It's a social construct. Man created language with God's help. Man created language, and we're speaking, we're using God's tools to understand ourselves and the world around us. And so that's what this is all about. And what I do is I talk about books like The Meaning of Meaning by Ogden and Riches, where they explain that there is, when you think of thought and you think of the word and you think of the object, there is a direct relationship between thought and the word. And then you have to think in terms of the word and the object. There's no direct relationship between the thought and the object. we would say, for example, the word share. We understand that word. We understand that object. But the meaning of that particular word is not necessarily consistent with the object. If you understand that those letters in that word are represent other words, additional words, or different distinct words in and of themselves. Again, one has to have a key to understand that dialogue. So what I do is, in this book, I discovered that anagram, the technique of creating an anagram, is the easiest way or the quickest way to gain some insight into that secondary meaning in words. The typical type of anagram is where you take a word and you use the exact same letters in that word and you create another word, legitimate word found in the dictionary from the letters of that original word. And so in doing that, I said, well, that's sort of mechanical and it's static and it's limiting. Mm-hmm. Because if I wanted to take a series of words in a sentence, I should be able to, or one can be able to, come up with an anagram of those original words, since I knew already there was a secondary meaning in those original words, to come up with a meaningful latent content from those given words based on the use of a key. And in doing so, I could begin by looking at the most obvious words inside of those original words and then begin expanding. When I ran out of words from the obvious, most obvious letters of the word, I could go beyond that by simply applying the residue in terms of letters, expanding the meaning there by using my key for those individual residue letters. And so in the end, one can always find a complete meaning and a sensible meaning to any series of words, not just a single word. And I sort of look at those things as mini proofs or anagrams in and of themselves. And so what I did was, I took some random, in this book, Mind Factory, I took some random words taken from, you know, names, from news bites, from titles of books, and et cetera. And I did anagrams on each of those words, over 288, I think, of words. And so I expanded them as anagrams under the procedure that I had created myself for using my key and then expanding those words and statements as anagrams. But what I did not do in this first book, I did not interpret the meaning of the anagrams. It was obvious that they were in fact anagrams because I could account for every single letter, but I didn't interpret it so people would know exactly what the anagram meant. And as a consequence, once the book was published, people, you know, would say to me that they didn't completely understand what each of the anagrams were actually saying. And so that was the reason why I wrote the second book, I Am a Key, where I give the key, and this time for each of the anagrams that I wrote in the book, The Mind Factory, I give an interpretation to each of those anagrams. And what's important about my interpretation is one can see then that there is a real content that is revealed, and it's distinct from what one is typically used to. So if one is reading my second book, I Am a Key, you realize that if you just look at the content of the anagrams, I break the anagram down and then I do the interpretation. If you read the interpretations, you see that it tells a story of things that are real in our world, and it talks about things in ways that you're not typically exposed to. You have some surprises, and the content is relevant to our everyday lives. I did that for the purpose of assuring people and trying to encourage people, influence people to believe that this is not a imaginary. This is a reality in our world. This is the truth that has been hidden from us, not really hidden in sort of negative kinds of ways, because the great thinkers of our times were talking about this very thing, just like Immanuel Kant talking about things in themselves, Hegel and talking about the notion of a notion. All of these great thinkers, Nietzsche, Wittgenstein, Bertrand Russell, all of these people are trying to explain to us what it is about language that we do not know about language, what it is about knowledge that we need to understand that is difficult to understand. Now, I'm coming from a background of mathematics, which sort of opens up the idea of definitions and axioms and those kinds of processes of logic. And that's what language is. Language is logic. In fact, when I think of English, I think of English as being as exact as mathematics. And so these are the kinds of things that I'm exposing in the Mind Factory on the theoretical side. And I'm doing it actually because I recognize that people, the average person, won't really appreciate this because they take words for granted and concepts for granted. So a concept like reading within context and understanding words within context, taking words for granted, those concepts are not things that are focused on enough for people to sort of soak them in and understand that there's a deeper meaning in things that we read. But also fundamentally what I'm talking about in this book, and though I don't speak to this issue directly in terms of people of color, but my audience for this book is Black people. And the reason for that is that you know, people joke about the fact that if you want to keep things from people of color or Black people, put it in a book. Well, it's sort of true, because they don't like, you know, people downplay the importance and the value of reading. Mm-hmm. But information is equal to consciousness. And people have to come to understand that you can't get to thinking properly, thinking clearly, unless you get into understanding how to read. And most people do not read with discernment. So that's what my book is about, teaching some advanced techniques, explaining the reality of the latent content in words. But I also talk about this issue of reading, and I put it within the context of a generational curse. If you don't believe the value of reading, if you don't believe in the value of reading, then you don't have the ability to use your mind in a way that is consistent with the culture that mankind as a whole, this is not a color thing, but all races of people have contributed to the knowledge that exists in our world. Just for example, like Einstein said, if there's anything that you want to understand, it's already in the library. And that's a fact. Kant says essentially the same thing. All of the knowledge that we need to know about has already been written about in terms of its basic understanding, mm-hmm. and the core of its meaning and how it works.
Larry, listen, man, I love the way your mind works, brother. I truly mean this. Like, you talk about things in such a logical and, dare I say it, transparent way, but then also at the same time, the opposite side of that coin, you also get very deep and philosophical, and I'm telling you, man, it is a beautiful thing to listen to. People, I can sit here, I can talk to them for hours, okay? There's that much information based upon what we're talking about, and I'm that much engulfed in it, but you know what you got to do. Amazon and Barnes & Noble are where you have to go. The Mind Factory. The ability to cipher information is the secret to the lexicon is the title you got to pick up this time. I Am a Key is the title you're going to want to pick up next time. And make sure to check back in frequently, because there's a third installment on the horizon. You're going to have to head on over there, pick it up, and of course, you can thank me later, okay? For the ones that really want to challenge themselves with some of the anagrams that he's created, The Mind Factory is for you, okay? There are no answers in that one. He puts it straight out there, and you got to try to figure it out for yourself. I Am McKee is going to revisit it. It's going to give you some helpful hints, right? It's going to give you the answers to some of them. And then we'll see what's in that third one. Because, people, I'm telling you, this is something that just needs to continue. Because it is that impactful. That much of a journey to get lost in. And you got Larry Odell Johnson to thank for it. So head on over there today and pick up your copies. Larry, this has been such a pleasure, man. I really do mean that. Thank you once again for being a guest on People of Distinction.
And thank you.